सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वैवस्वताय मृत्यवे ब्रह्मविद्याचार्याय नचिकेतसे च। सो लास्ट वीक वी कंटिन्यू टू टॉक अबाउट द ग्लोरीज ऑफ दिस आत्मा दिस कॉन्शियसनेस दैट इट इज ऑल परवेडिंग एंड इवन सिटिंग इन वन प्लेस। It can go in all different locations. It is everywhere. And at the same time, it is stationary, means it has no place to move because it is everywhere. And only the wise person who has done all the knowledge and sadhan chatushtaya and has upasana will know it. And then also they said it is formless, bodiless, but in all the bodies. And it is the eternal consciousness, and it is permanent. Even in these temporary objects, the Atma is permanent. And then we heard how one can know it, not merely by talking or listening, but by exclusively choosing this Atma that we had studied the last week. And also that those who are not avoiding bad behavior, bad conduct, they will not know it. Those who don't have control of the mind, control of senses, will not know it. So who will know it and who will not know it, we have studied. We'll do second valli, the last mantra, number 25. Ambika, you have that? Yasya Brahma Chakshatram Cha
यस्य ब्रह्म च क्षत्रं च
ते भवत ओदनः
उभे भवत ओदनः
मृत्युर्यस्योपसेचनं कः
मृत्युर्यस्योपसेचनं कः
इत्था वेद यत्र सः।
इत्था वेद यत्र सः
टुगेदर यू कैन प्लीज म्यूट। यस्य
यस्य
ब्रह्म
ब्रह्म च
क्षत्रं
क्षत्रं च
च उभे
उभे
भवत
भवत
ओदनः मृत्युर्यस्योपसेचनं कः इत्था वेद यत्र सः।
यत्र
सो दिस श्लोका इट सेज यस्य, यस्य मीन्स ऑफ दैट, सः मीन्स दैट कॉन्शियसनेस। ब्रह्म एंड क्षत्र, ब्राह्मण्स एंड क्षत्रियास, दोज आर द टू मेंशन, च उभे, बोथ ऑफ देम आर वॉट, ओदना बिकम द राइस। So it's a cooked rice, yeah. So for that, Brahmins and Kshatriyas become the cooked rice, and Mrityu, yasya, of this consciousness, Mrityu is the pickle, Upasechanam. So the Brahmins and Kshatriyas are the cooked rice. The death is his pickle, And who can know? Ka ittha veda. Who can know this in this way and where it is? So this mantra absolutely makes no sense at all. You know, that's why we need a
Teacher.
teacher, a guru, because the Upanishads are in very mystical language, very symbolic, and to understand, one needs a proper teacher and the attitude of surrender that, okay, Guru, I prostrate to you. That's how I will learn. So, what here they are talking about? See, we had already talked about Atma or Brahman as it is na jayate, mriyate, vipaschit. It is neither born nor dies. It is all pervading. You know, it is the source of all this, everything that is created and sustained is in that consciousness. So here the teacher is talking about dissolution. We talked about creation and sustenance, but how does dissolution happen? How does this world end? That is talked in this particular mantra. So what happens when dissolution happens? They say, well, does space also go away? Yes, when pralaya happens, space is one of the five elements: air, space, fire, water, earth. So other four, if they go away, space also goes away. So space also goes into dissolution, into this Atma. So they say, well, is Atma in space or space is in Atma? Atma means consciousness. No, space is in Atma. Space is in consciousness. Just as we all are, space is also a created element. And how about time? You know, people ask, when did creation first start? When? They say, if you say, when did creation first start, then time was already there. And then creation came afterwards. That does not happen. Time is also created. So the Lord, the consciousness, the Atma, the Brahman, not only created the five elements, but time also was created. Gurudev at another place said that, what is time? An interval between two events. So if one thing happens and then the second thing happens, that we say is time. Okay, between this and this, like between my getting up and maybe, you know, taking a shower, say it's half an hour time. So between one event and the second event, that's why Gurudev says the unit of time is seconds. Second means the interval between the first time and the second time. And it depends, like in deep sleep, you sleep for 6, 7, 8 hours, you don't even know where you are. You have no idea of space and you have no idea of time. You know, I say, I just slept, and you wake up and it's already morning. And for another mother who is watching the child and child is sick, high fever, and she's all night checking the temperature and then giving Tylenol, for her, that whole night passes with, in like, the when will the time pass? It is so long. So it is all relative, and time is also created just as space is created. So first there was consciousness, that alone was, and then in that consciousness, everything was created: time, space, the elements, and the entire universe. So why do they use Brahmins and Kshatriyas? Because Brahmins are the ones that follow the ethical principles, preserve the Vedas, the scriptures, teach us about the scriptures, all, and perform all the rituals. So Brahmins are represented as the maintainers of ethical values. And Kshatriyas are the leaders, the administrators are representing the ones who maintain law and order, discipline, how the world functions, the country functions. So Brahmins and Kshatriyas are the were considered, you know, the superior class compared to Vaishyas and Shudras. Does not mean that we don't need Vaishyas or Shudras or they are not important. They are equally important. But in the hierarchy, you know, the Brahmins are the teachers, the gurus. Kshatriyas are the rulers, the administrators. So that's why, and also when they mention one or two, they consider the entire class. Like they'll say, you know, Chakshu Chakshu,
Chakshuat.
vak chakshu, right? They just mentioned two. So vak is speech. That means represent all five organs of action: speech, hands, legs, and so on. And chakshu means ear, so that represents eyes,
Chakshu
ears,
is
nose,
under
skin, tongue. So the organs of action, when you mention one, it covers all. When you mention one sense organ, it covers all. So when they mention two, it represents not only the four castes, but represents the entire creation, because Gurudev says the mankind is the highest of all the entire creation. Animals, birds, plants, fish, all of that. So humans are the highest. And among human, the Brahmins and Kshatriyas are considered, they are kind of, given more honor. They have a higher position. So when they mention Brahman and Kshatriya, they mention the entire creation, the whole creation from man to animal, bird, fish, plant, all of them, and including rocks, stones, which is the lowest. So everything. So when they say Brahman, Kshatriya, they're talking about the entire creation. Now they say they are the swallowed, what is, they are the boiled rice. So just as boiled rice is very easy for us to swallow, right? If it's soft rice, you can easily eat it. So same way, the entire creation is easy for that Atman to swallow. So what it means is that when the dissolution happens, the entire creation, starting from Brahman, Kshatriyas, all the way down to rocks and stones, go into the unmanifest form. So from the Atma, we came into the manifest form, and then we go back into the unmanifest. So when they say swallow, what it means is that they are, the whole creation is as though swallowed or merges back into the unmanifest, into the Atma. And then say the mrityu is the pickle. What do they mean by mrityu? Mrityu, they said, no, third line, mrityu is the pickle. Pickle means that which gives some taste, some like chutney. So death is represented by kala. Kala, the time, when the death happens. And that's why they say that Lord Shiva is said to be the Mahakala, the supreme lord of death. So that's what they're saying. So the dissolution happens, and death also is included in that. So death, dissolution, everything is included in the universe, which is born, created, and dies. And so that all is swallowed. So here they are representing Atma as the third aspect. First was creator, sustainer, and now as the destroyer. All of us who are born are going to merge back into that Atma. And who knows? Kaha ita, who knows? And yatra, and where is this Atma, this consciousness? So who knows? As we have heard again and again, Yamaraja tells Nachiketa that people like you who have vairagya, mumukshutvam, have the clear understanding of what they want, and have control of mind and senses, and they approach a teacher and exclusively choose Atma. So these are all the qualities of a seeker, and only such a seeker will know that. So will know that. So who knows? And where? Well, they say, where is God? They say, where is God not? Kaha nahi hai. They say,
That's a
Bhagwan
long
kahan
question.
dikha? He says, Bhagwan everywhere. That's why Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad showed him that my God is even in the pillar. So where is God, or where is this Atma? All-pervading, is everywhere. So one who knows this way, Atma, he only knows it. So we have finished the second valli. I'll take about 5 minutes just to summarize all the main points covered in the second valli, and then we'll go to the third. So the first point covered in the second valli was Shreya and Preya. That which is good and that which is pleasant. And one who chooses the path of pleasant goes to back to birth and death, and one who chooses the path of Shreya goes upward. And then they talked about Vidya and Avidya. So Vidya will tell us the two paths. And then the glory of this knowledge was conveyed, how glorious this knowledge is, and how how important it is for one to get the knowledge. And then also Yamaraj talked about the teacher. You know, there are some teachers who may be just speaking, don't have their own experience. And then there are others who actually have experienced. And so the right kind of teacher can take you on this highest path. And then there were three or four shlokas praising Nachiketa, that you are the one, the doors of knowledge are wide open for you, and there, you know, we have not seen us. So Nachiketa gets tired of his praise and he says, I don't want that. You please tell me the third boon. Anyatra dharmat, anyatra dharma. That which is beyond dharma and adharma, which is beyond past, present, and future. And that I wish to know. So then he says, Yamaraj says, that is Om, the symbol Om, which represents the highest creation. The Brahman, the essence of Brahman is revealed in that Om. And that Om is the one that is in which the whole universe is represented. You know, the Uma represents the visible world, the universe, waking, dream, and deep sleep. And the silence represents the consciousness, because the universe arises from consciousness and merges back. Same way when we chant Om, then it arises from silence and merges back into the silence. So the fourth one is called Turiya. So all that, the glory of Om and how Upasana of Om, how when it is chanted, one can reach the highest when it is chanted with the right understanding. And then the nature of Atma that was indicated, that it travels, it doesn't travel in one place and so on, that we have heard. And it is the alambanam. Om is the alambanam. It is the substratum of this entire universe. And then the sadhanas, which we talked about, that the sadhanas are not just to talk about it or listen about it or memorize shlokas, but the purpose of the sadhana is to know Atma, know the self, and that Atma is me. Again, one should not think Atma is somewhere else. Brahman is somewhere else. It's not an object. It is the knower, it is the subject. And who will get it? Again and again, one should emphasize, one who chooses it exclusively. Well, that is that alone I want. I want nothing else in my life except that. So such a person, to whom such a person, the Atma reveals itself. Again, we cannot reach it by one our own effort, but when we develop all these sadhan chatushtaya qualities, get the right knowledge from a teacher, sit and meditate and contemplate. In that silence, when the mind is still, the Atma reveals itself. And then today's mantra, the last one, talked about death, about dissolution. So now the third valli, the main point of that is the chariot. You know, the chariot, which is Arjuna and Shri Krishna's chariot. And the whole simile of the chariot is covered in the third mantra onwards. But the first two mantras are introductory, which will introduce this topic of the chariot. Chariot we will do next week. We will finish two mantras. And I may do a little introduction on the chariot if we have time. So Jayashree, can you do... Tritiya Valli, first mantra. Can unmute, please. Ritam pibantau sukritasya loke.
Ritam pibantau sukritasya loke.
Uham pravishtau parame parardhe.
Uham pravishtau parame parardhe.
Chaya tapau brahma vido vadanti.
Chaya tapau brahma vido vadanti.
Panchagnayo ye chatrinachiketaha.
Panchagnayo ye chatrinachiketaha.
Okay, all together. Ritam pibantau sukritasya loke. Guham pravishtau parame parardhe. Chaya tapau brahma vido vadanti. Panchagnayo ye chatrinachiketaha. So this is again a very very difficult shloka. If you take a dictionary and try to translate, you will get completely lost at any of the Upanishad mantras, because they are, the whole thing is so symbolic. It is so mystical. This particular mantra is unbelievable. It's such a beautiful mantra. So I'll spend some time explaining this. There is a lot of material in these four lines. They have covered everything, whatever you can think of. All the main ideas are covered in this.
Interesting.
So ritam pibanta. Ritam means the fruit. So the fruit of action. Ritam also means the truth.
Don't
You know,
forget.
that's why they say satyam eva jayate na anritam. Truth alone prevails. Anritam, untruth will not prevail. So ritam is truth. Ritam also means absolute. Ritam also means the fruit of action. So how we can take each one, we'll talk about. Pibantau means two. There are two people who are enjoying the fruit of action. Sukritasya, of the good actions in this world, there are two. Two. Who are the two? We'll understand that. And where are they located? Guham pravishtau, in the cave of the heart. We have talked many times about that. It is in the middle of the chest where all the good qualities reside in the intellect. So that is called the cave of the heart. Pravishto means they are stationed. Parame pararde. Parame means the supreme Brahman. Pararde means the abode. So where the supreme Brahman manifests, there these two are stationed, these two. And who are the Brahma? Vida means the knowers of Brahman. Vadanti. Vadanti means they call it Chaya and Tapau. So Chaya means shade and Tapa means light. So again, two. So they call them shade and light, knowers of Brahman. And then he says, but also those who have done the Panchagni, you know, the five-fold fire, they have performed the ritual. And three Nachiketaha. Nachiketa means the Nachiketa fire. Remember, that was the second boon, that performing Nachiketa fire takes you to heaven, which Nachiketa had asked for his second boon. So he said, those who have performed the five Agnis and the three times done the Nachiketa fire. So again, this, you know, it actually, when you translate, it doesn't make sense at all. So let us see what it means. So ritam means the truth. Ritam also means the fruit. So here, pibanto means the two people who enjoy the fruit of actions. So they say, who are the two? So they say, jiva and atma. They say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You just few shlokas back, you told us atma is not the doer, is not the enjoyer. And now you are saying atma enjoys the fruit of action. Jiva, we understand. Okay, jiva. But atma has nothing to do with action. So why is atma called the enjoyer of action along with the jiva? So we'll talk about that. It's a very interesting explanation. Sukritasya, of the good actions in this world. And where are the two located? In the cave of the heart. So let us see what is meant by the fruit. So fruit is the result of karmas, right? Any karma I have done, the result is bound to come. Whether it's good or bad, you cannot escape it. So it is like the absolute truth. It is true, ritam. It may come in this life, may come right away, may come after 10 years, may come in next life. But gahana karmano gati, nobody can escape. So the result of karma is absolute. It is like the truth. You
No.
know, you cannot doubt it. A truth also means the supreme absolute knowledge. So ritam represents both. And where do they reside? In the cave of the heart. So the two are jiva and atma, or ego and atma. You know, those are the things they are mentioned. And in the cave of the heart, we have talked about where the atma resides, where the Brahman is. And the jiva also is said to reside there.
Right.
When you say I, whether you're talking about the absolute or the individual, you put your hand here in the middle of the chest like that. So that is Guha Pravishta. They reside in there. And the Brahma Vida, the knower of Brahmans, call it Chaya and Tapa, light and darkness. So why do they call it light and shadow or light and darkness? Because the two are together. See, wherever you see shadow, there is bound to be light, because only light shining on an object will create shadow, right? So light and shadow are always together. You cannot have shadow without light. So same way, you cannot have Atma and Jiva as separate. They are always two together. And the light can be, for example, again, we had talked last week, like in the room, you put, the light comes in, sunlight in the morning, the whole room is diffusely, illumined. And then you shine a mirror outside and outside the room. And then the reflected light from the sun, from the mirror, comes on one particular spot of the wall, right? Or a mirror or a bucket of water you put, then that light, when it's properly focused, will come on one spot. So the reflected light, which is all over, represents Atma. And that light, which is reflected only in one spot, is called Jiva. So that's why they're saying shadow and darkness, darkness and light, or shadow and light. So in one place, that's why Jiva, I am in one place, but Atma is diffuse. It is all pervading. It is everywhere. And karmas, one cannot escape. There are a couple of stories, like, Dashrath Maharaj story, when he accidentally killed Shravan Kumar, thinking him to be a deer, he shot the arrow with the sound. He could shoot with sound without even seeing. It was dark. And Shravan Kumar dies and he has blind parents. And then Dashrath has to go and apologize to them that, sorry, I, killed your son. And they cursed him that just as we have lost our son, may you also die suffering the loss of your son. And that's what happened to Dashrath Maharaj. Even though his son was Bhagwan Ram himself, and Vashishtha Muni and all of them were around, but he could not. Even Ram, Bhagwan Ram, did not interfere in that karma. That karma was absolute. And Dashrath Maharaj dies in the sorrow of losing his son for 14 years. He couldn't even wait for the son to come back. He dies shortly after Sri Ram left. So the curse came. Then Dhritarashtra, there's another interesting curse. Dhritarashtra, after the war was over and all his 100 sons were killed, and Bhagwan Krishna came to visit him, and Dhritarashtra was crying, and he says, losing one son is even so hard for a father. I have lost my all 100 sons. And why did that happen? Oh, Krishna, why did you do it? So Bhagwan says, it was not me. It was your own karma. He says, what? He says, in your previous birth, you were a hunter, and you lit a fire to warm yourself under a tree. And on top of the tree, there were several nests of birds, and there were 100 birds who had just been born from the egg, and they still couldn't fly. And because of the heat and smoke of your fire, 100 little chicks, birds, were killed by your action. You didn't realize that that's what you were doing. So all the 100, you had to go through 100 deaths of your sons before this, your karma, could be finished. So the point is that no matter what you do, you cannot escape the results of your karmas. Now, why is he saying there are two who enjoy? Jiva enjoying is okay, but Atma is a karta, a bhokta. We have studied that many times. So there is a beautiful nyaya called Chhatri Nyaya. Chhatri Nyaya, that is there mentioned in our scriptures. So Chhatri means, like, suppose there it is, a man is walking with an umbrella and he walks out of the house and heavy downpour comes, very heavy rain. So quickly he opens the umbrella, and he starts walking. And then he sees a man, getting wet. So the man also joins, can I join you? So the man comes under the umbrella. And they are both walking. So they say both are walking, but one is conditioned by the umbrella, one is not conditioned by the umbrella, one is unconditioned. So the one who is holding the umbrella is conditioned, is called Jiva, and the one who is walking beside him, not holding the umbrella, not conditioned, is Atma. So when the two are together, they say, oh, look at these two coming, under the umbrella, but there's a difference. So that is same way Jiva and Atma coming together. That is called Kshatri Nyaya, or like say there is a bar and there is a man coming out, two men coming out. One is completely drunk. Another one went into the bar, had a small drink, and he's still fine. But when they both are coming out and one is walking drunk, somebody will say, look at these two drunkards, walking out together, because they walk out together, they may be friends. So that's why Jiva and Atma together are present in the cave of the heart, that is the abode of the Supreme. And they are called light and darkness. So Atma is light and the Jiva is shadow. It is Chaya and Tapa. And the Brahman, the knowers of Brahman know that, and they know the difference that whom should we focus on? Focus on the light, not on the darkness. So shadow cannot be without light. So same way, when the two are together, they appear to be together. That's why they say you cannot separate Jiva and Atma until you have that highest knowledge, then only. So that's why Pibantau, Pravishtau, they have used Dvivachan for those who have studied Sanskrit. Like Deva, Devau, Devaha, Devau. So when they talk about two, so here those two are mentioned. And there are other nyayas also, like Kshatri Nyaya, then there is Dehli Deep Nyaya, where it is like there's a lamp in the, there are two rooms and there is a lamp in the middle which is lit. And that lamp can illumine both rooms. So they say knower of Brahman is like that. He knows the world and he knows Brahman or Atma. While you and I, we only know one side, we only know the world. So that's why different examples are given. There are different nyayas, like the Chandra, Shakha Chandra Nyaya, where you see the branch and there is a moon behind. So different nyayas are mentioned in Upanishads. So here it is called Kshatri Nyaya. And the Atma again does not travel, it is all pervading, and it is the nature of light, and the Jiva is the nature of shadow. And the question is, whom do we choose? Because they are poles apart. One is dependent, one is independent. So, do I choose the independent or do I choose the dependent? And when we are given a choice, we choose the world. But the world is temporary, the world is dependent. We have to choose the Atma. That is the purpose of studying the Upanishads. And then, Panchagni, why does he talk about the five fires? So these fires are performed by those who are doing rituals. There is Gaadhapatya, Avahani, Agnihotra, Anavaharya. We had studied when we studied Prashnopanishad, last year. So the five fires. So there are four fires, and the fifth one is the sun. So when the householder is performing all these yajnas, he invokes the sun. And so through the blessings of Agni Devta, we can go from this world to the higher worlds, to heavens. And even our message can be carried. That's why Agni Devta is said to be the messenger. So to cross from the lower to the higher, you need Agni. In our body, the Manipur in the middle, in the stomach, is called the what? Vaishvanara. It is called the digestive fire. And that separates the lower chakras from the higher chakras. So the lower chakras take us downwards, the higher chakras or the Ajna chakra and all take us to the higher. So this fire is very symbolic. And there are many meanings. If you Google Panchagni, there are so many other meanings of that. And the three Nachiketa is the one who performs these rituals three times to go to heaven. So we think, array, these guys are inferior. My goal is Brahman. I am not interested in heaven. But even to perform these rituals and go up to Brahma Loka, they are highly qualified individuals. So we should not look down upon them. They are extremely highly qualified. They have to really know the mantras, know the rituals, perform it correctly, right time, right amount of breaks, right mantras to be chanted. So these are very, very evolved individuals who have chosen this path. And for them to finish that heaven and come back and continue their journey will be very easy. So these are not some that we should not think that, oh, my goal is Brahman, so I am somehow superior to the people who go to heaven. No, I am still a beginner and I have to. But watch, like even Yamaraj says that I chose the path of heaven, and that's how I went and I got this post of Yamaraj. How much, austerity he must have done. And then once he got the post of Yamaraj, then he studied this highest knowledge and attained realization. So one has to be very qualified to perform, but our true, if we really have our goal, our sincere goal should be Atma, and in this life itself, not to go to heaven or to go to Brahma Loka. So moksha, that's why they say na, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Dharma is the right actions. Artha is the wealth. Kama is desire. So wealth and desire should be acquired by dharma in the right way. And then my highest goal is moksha. So this shloka very beautifully explains how the Atma and the Jiva are together. Then again, the third one is, or next one is also very confusing. Yaha Setu. Oh,
Physical.
Niru, you can chant. Yaha Setu ri jananam
Ya se tu ri jananam
aksharam brahma yat param.
aksharam brahma yat param
अभयम् तितीर्षताम् पारम्
abhayam titi chartam param
नाचिकेतम् शके मही.
nachiketam shake mahi
टुगेदर यसेतुरी जानानाम्
अक्षरं
अक्षरम् ब्रह्म
ब्रह्म
यत्
यत्परम्
परम्
अभयं
अभयम् तितीर्षताम् पारम्
तितीर्षतां
नाचिकेतम् शके मही.
पारं
So yaha means who this person, whoever it is. No, yaha means
नाचिकेतं
the sacrifice which is performed. And setu means the bridge. Ijanan means the ones who have performed these particular sacrifices, which is a bridge where it can be a bridge again. Sacrifices can be bridge to heaven, or it can be a bridge to Aksharam Brahma. The Supreme Brahman, Yat Param, the Supreme Brahman, who is Abhayam, who is fearless. And Titirshata means, Titirshu means
cross.
ones who are desirous of crossing. Like we say, Mumukshu, one who is desire of moksha, or Bubukshu, one who is desirous of eating. So Titirshu, one who is desirous of crossing this bridge. And through rituals, param, going beyond this
Crossing.
samsara, beyond this earth. And O Nachiketa, may we also master that. So there are again, he's talking about two paths. One is which crosses over the world, but takes you to heaven. Another one is crosses over the world and takes you to that supreme. So the sacrifice are the rituals. And the bridge, we said, is the bridge to the higher world, higher worlds. And again, they say that one is through the path of karma, other is through path of knowledge. So through karmas, through rituals, if your focus is heaven, you will get it. But if you're using these rituals to purify your mind, and then get the right knowledge, because only in a pure mind, so one who has done karma and upasana, karma yoga and upasana, done without any selfish goal for the highest knowledge, then that person will get it. And that person will master it. Now, why does he say this is abhayam? Abhayam means fearless. This knowledge makes us fearless. That's why Lord Shiva, one of his name is Abhaya Pradam, one who gives us fearlessness. So why do we have fear? So they say there are three things. You have bhoga, you have roga, and then you have bhayam. So bhoga means when you enjoy, like, okay, you're eating 3-4 mithais, you know, or any, or ice cream or faluda. You're eating a lot of that. And then you have roga, you know, then you say, oh, my now blood sugar is going to go up. Or if I am eating too much fried food, my cholesterol will go up. So roga gives you, I mean, bhoga gives you roga disease, and then bhayam. Now I'm afraid I can't eat sweets anymore. I can't eat fried. I can't eat cheese. So all the three go together, you know, bhoga, roga, and bhayam. So they say that's why you have to go beyond that, and you have to have the the highest goal. So people have this laukik karma. You know, how am I going to make in this world? How much am I going to earn? How much is going to be my net worth, you know, at the end of the year? How much was my profit, my loss? So those, no matter, even if you have millions, billions, you may be the richest man on earth, but none of that money will go with you, not even a penny. What goes with us is dharma, jnanam. So dharma, the right conduct, jnanam, the right knowledge. Only those two things will go. So, and karmas that you have not had the fruit, say the most of the karmas, the fruit you get in this life itself, but those you haven't will go to the next birth if you haven't attained enlightenment. So what only goes? Dharma and jnanam. And as we had heard before, Nachiketa Agni will take us up to Brahma Loka, all the way up. You can go to different levels. There are 7 levels of heaven, and the highest is Brahma Loka. But those who want Aksharam, then what do? They go inward. For acquiring the world, you have external actions. Whatever external actions you do will acquire merits in the world. You know, it could be worldly success, or it could be even going to heaven. But if you want the highest goal in life, you have to go inward. So you give up the ego, give up the conditioned consciousness, give up the external worlds, and choose the internal world. That's why they say it is in the cave of the heart. So in your meditation, your contemplation, you contemplate upon that Brahman, the silence, which is all pervading, but also can be found in the cave of the heart, where the intellect is, where this knowledge is. So this is basically, so in today's talk, we talked about how this Atma is the seat of dissolution. Everything merges into that, and that is, and including space, time, everything, word, even death. It is the lord of death also. That's why Yamaraj is again one of the gods, because it is in that Atma, the total consciousness. And the two of them, Jiva and Atma, appear inseparable. You know, they are always together. That's why they said Kshatri Nyaya, they are always together. But one is independent, other one is dependent, one is conditioned, other one is unconditioned, one is all pervading, other one is limited. So that's why they say that one is all eternal, always existing, other one is perishable. So here again, they have distinguished the two very clearly, and they are called as light and shade, or light and darkness. And so through this knowledge of this Upanishad, we can also understand the difference. So again and again, Yamaraj is emphasizing that choose the path of Shreya, not prayer. Choose the internal path, not the external path. Worldly success will only take you so far. And then he has talked about the moksha as the ultimate goal, and the bridge. Which, what are the bridge? The bridge are the rituals, the sacrifices, which can take you to the heaven. But if you, that is, if you don't become focused on the rituals are my goal. Some people think that alone, I just keep on doing rituals after rituals. That is good, will purify your mind, but that alone will not help. That has to be accompanied by knowledge. And one has to live a life of self-control. That's why bhoga, roga, bhayam. And you have to reach that state of fearlessness. And not by worldly actions, but by spiritual knowledge. Worldly actions, laukik karma, will not take you. It is the adhyatmic karma, the spiritual actions that take you inward. And that is should be the goal. And that is the knowers of Brahman know that. So our the authors or the teachers of the Upanishads and our teachers like Pujya Gurudev and all the Swamijis of Chinmaya Mission, when they indicate this knowledge, they are called Brahmavida. They are called the knowers of Brahman. And one has to surrender to them and follow their advice. So I'll end here. We have some time. I didn't want to start the fourth mantra today because that is the chariot. But if I can just briefly talk about what we are going to cover in the next week. So they say again, the chariot, we all know that the driver is Bhagwan Krishna, Arjun is the Jiva, the Lord is the driver, the reins are the Atma, the mind, the horses are the sense organs, and the road which they run on are the sense objects. Yeah. So here also there are two paths will be covered. Again, who is your driver and how do you drive and how do you walk on this path that will be covered and who is the one who gets the goal of this supreme state and that will be covered. And again, it all throughout this Upanishad, he keeps indicating the choices. You have this choice and you have that choice. You choose this or you choose that.
Choice is yours.
The choice is ours. Even Bhagwan in 18th chapter also, he says, you choose what you want. And
There's a
then
Mananam series of choices.
there's a Mananam series also on choices. So Bhagwan says, you choose. Ultimately, the choice is yours. So here also, Yamaraj is clearly indicating to us the choices. Nachiketa, of course, doesn't need this knowledge. He's just using Nachiketa to give us the knowledge. Nachiketa has made the choice, but he still needs the knowledge from Yamaraj. He has not reached the ultimate, but his path is very clear because he has so much Vivek, Vairagya, Shat Sampatti, Mumukshutvam. All he needs is a little spark of knowledge which Yamaraj will give him, and through that to all of us. So I'll end here. I have about 10 or 12 minutes.
This is this Pibantau, that shloka is taken up in the Brahma Sutra.
Oh, yeah. Pibantav, they have given a lengthy commentary on it in the Brahma
And
Sutra.
so
So,
many.
yeah.
It's a long. Yeah, but
Right,
it's a
right.
very important shloka.
Very important mantra. Yes, Pibantav. Who are the two who drink and how to distinguish the two? Yes, it's in Brahma Sutra, which is the highest teaching, which in very short, summarizes the entire teaching of the Upanishads. Ved Vyas ji has written that.
And another important point, I think, in this one is the shadow cannot be without the light, without the light. So that false I, that who we think are, is dependent on that. So if we realize that, then you are nobody actually. You cannot exist without that. So it is dependent.
Right.
So that is the main point I got out of
Yes,
this.
it is dependent and the Atma
And
is
that's when you
independent.
realize, you feel like, oh, you are nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like,
So it makes us realize the smallness of our ego, compared to the totality and how we just get focused on the ego and forget the totality. So that is how. So this
it's like
knowledge
going
takes you
into
to
the
see that one consciousness everywhere, all pervading. And then again, the final understanding is that is me. I am not the ego, I am that. So
nothing
take you
can
from the
exist
ego to
without.
the higher. So the bridge will take you from the bridge. One bridge can take you towards worldly success or rituals. other one takes you to the highest. Thank you, Neeru. Sujata, you have comment or question?
Oh yeah, I didn't unmute it. I guess it was mute. But I have not heard the Prashnopanishad. So these five fires in the book at the bottom, they are mentioned, but they didn't sound familiar to me. So if you have a minute to explain those.
What happens is that the householder in the Prashnopanishad, it's a whole chapter about it, where they talk about the one fire that burns all the time. And then in the south part of the house, a particular fire, and then some are performed on certain occasions. So the Agnihotra is the householder, who is the head of the house, is supposed to maintain the fire. So one fire is supposed to burn 24 hours a day, day and night. It is to be maintained. Other fires on particular occasions, or some are only in the morning. Some are, so these are all the very very detailed explanation is given in Prashnopanishad.
I think people used to do this.
Yeah, and people used to do that in their homes. You know, I think when we did the Prashnopanishad, it took me like 2 or 3 weeks to talk about the various fires. But briefly, these are the fires that a householder is supposed to maintain. And they say when it, oh yeah, house fire also means the sense organs. I forgot to cover
fire
that.
Guidelines.
So there are five fires, four fires and the sun. So we have five sense organs. So just as in the fire, you are pouring oblations, you know, all the offerings into the fire. So into our sense organs, we are pouring the oblations of the sense objects. So with the eyes, I see the sights which are coming, with the ears, the sound, with the mouth, the taste, smell, all touch, all of those five oblations are coming into this body, into this jiva. And then who is the enjoyer of that? You know, so that also five fires. It can be the jiva. And ultimately through the jiva, it is the atma that is ultimately the final experiencer of that. So these five fires have very detailed explanation of when and how they should be lit. And what is the time duration and what time of the day and all that. So that is, those are the fires. So four fires, and fifth is the sun. And then these fires are supposed to take your mind higher in by these rituals. So, and then also teaches you discipline and all that. That answer your question? You're muted, Sujata.
No, I was asking the Sanskrit words meaning. So, garhapta ahavan.
Let me, it's not my book.
It's in my book on 132 page, but it's okay.
Gadhapatya ahavahaniya dakshinagni sabhya. So, these are all the different names of the fire. So, like dakshina means it has to be in the southern part of the house. Gadhapatya is the main fire. The main fire that has to be maintained all the time. Then avahaniya at a particular time. Sabhya. Sabhya means when there is a gathering of people, then they light. So when they are inviting people to their house, then they light their fire like that. Avasthaya means at certain time, certain place. At a particular avastha. And sabha means at a particular, when the people are gathering. And dakshinagni is south. Gadapatya and Ahavaniya is again a name of a fire. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, my book doesn't have, I must have
you
an
have
older,
old one.
I have an older edition.
This is a little bit newer.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, but we had covered in detail in Prashnopanishad.
You can look in Prashnopanishad.
Yeah, Prashnopanishad, you can Google. Ambika, you have a question?
Yeah, no, you were talking about Dasharath and Dhritarashtra and how, you know, because of something they did in the past, how karma, the law of karma comes into effect. Now, in both their cases, it was done by mistake.
Yes.
It was not a conscious thing to do. It was just an accidental thing. So even then, you have to pay the price for that, even if it's just a mistake.
Right. Karma will get the result. Karma by mistake and karma by acts, by deliberately doing, will have, may have different consequences. But yeah, any karma, any killing, any harming of anybody, it can be, it's like you're driving at 70 miles on 55 highway and you say, well, I thought the highway was 70 and suddenly it changes to 55 and you didn't see that. you kept on driving 70, the cop will give you a ticket. You'll say, I didn't see that sign changing. He'll say, well, ignorance is not an excuse. By mistake, you were driving 70. So, you know, you still have to pay the penalty for that. So
only
same
time it happens is if you are realized. That's the only time they don't get.
Right.
And
right.
That is, ego is gone.
Right.
Then the doer is not there.
Yes.
Then it doesn't affect you. But
right.
otherwise it does.
Right. And enlightened.
Like
yes. Sorry. You're right. Enlightened master goes beyond karma. Then all karmas are burnt in that fire of knowledge. You know, sarma karma akhilam partha. Jnane pari samapyate, Bhagavan says in the Bhagavad Gita, all karmas end when the dawn of knowledge. So only way to escape karmas is either not to do them or get enlightened. Otherwise, every karma, good or bad, they all will affect you.
Thank you.
No, there is no escape. There is no escape. That's why they say rhythm. That's why it is truth. It is absolute. Every karma. And it's not recorded in some Chitragupta somewhere. It is recorded within us. In our causal body. It is in the subtle and causal body. The karmas are recorded. We keep our own track of our own karmas. It could be even unknown karmas like Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana or Dashratha. But in that individual jiva, that karma is recorded. The computer is within us, you know, the computer which records, and then it just carries it to this life or to future lives. Thank you. Yeah, Hansa, then you have a question?
Yeah. So knowingly, unknowingly, we have killed a lot of bugs and creatures and ants and everything, stepping on them. So then there is no way we will be out of that, is it?
No, by enlightenment, get the supreme knowledge, then you are done. That's why Upanishad tells you, choose the path of Shreya, not. And at the same time, you can compensate. See, if you do a lot of good karmas, even though the bad karmas will be there, but if you have done a lot of good and a lot of help and served others and all, Bhagwan will then modify. Results can be modified. But yeah, but there is no escape. So best is keep doing good karma. Bank balance keeps increasing and then keep getting the knowledge. And then again, the killing of the bug. Say if some there is a bug in your house, like ants or cockroaches and all, which are, you know, filling up your, you that killing them probably won't be that bad, because your goal is to, you know, live comfortably in your house. If you have cockroaches, ants, you know, spiders, mosquitoes all floating around the house, you won't be able to live. So like when we call the bug killer, you know, pest control in our house.
Terminator, yeah.
Terminator.
Again, so does he get punished for killing our birds?
No, if you, yeah, he gets some and you get some because you
people,
are paying him.
People who sell liquor also get, you know.
That's true. Like, people who sell liquor and then people who drink and drive. Like nowadays, they are catching the parents of somebody, like a kid has shot with a gun. The parents are being sent to jail. Same thing, like providing the child with a gun. Yeah, a couple of parents happened there. Yeah,
Gary.
And if the court doesn't catch you, the higher court will catch. So best is to live carefully, do the least negative, do as much good as you can to help others. And then ultimately pray
to Bhagwan.
Pray to Bhagwan. That's what I said. Bhagwan,
good
you
and
take.
Bad, everything just arpan.
Brahmarpanamastu. Just dedicate to, or Krishnarpanamastu or Shivarpanam. Just offer everything to Bhagwan.
That's
and do
best
your
thing.
Best. And then keep getting the highest knowledge. Keep going for knowledge, knowledge.
One by one, if we do karma, it will be hard.
Right. You cannot negate each karma, as Neeru said, one by one. Only by knowledge you can. Otherwise, if you try to eradicate one karma after another, it won't happen. Okay, we'll end.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll continue the chariot, simile of the chariot. It's beautiful. The next, the third valli is all talks about this chariot and how, what are the choices we can make ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। थैंक यू ऑल सो मच। अदरवाइज वेयर आई वुड हैव चांस टू स्टडी ऑल दिस कठोपनिषद एंड ऑल। आई नेवर इन माय वाइल्डेस्ट ड्रीम्स एवर थॉट दैट आई विल डू समथिंग लाइक दैट। आई एम सो थैंकफुल टू ऑल ऑफ यू। रियली थैंक यू।